You are listening to the Cedar Mill Community Library's 2011 Oral History Series recorded at Sunset High School, where high school students interviewed local immigrants to learn about what it means to be an immigrant in America and in Oregon. This year, we interviewed several immigrants from Mexico, Latin America, and South America. This interview is with Luis Emesquel, a Mexican immigrant working in the high-tech field here in Oregon. So enjoy.
My name is Caitlin Hitzman. I am a Sunset senior from Sunset High School. And today I'm interviewing
Luis Emesquel Mayen from Mexico City.
Were you born there?
Yes, I was born in Mexico City.
Have you stayed there the majority of your life?
Yes, after college I moved to another city for grad school.
When did you come to Portland?
I came to Portland in 2007.
Why did you come here?
I moved from San Diego. I moved here for work. You know, pretty much running away from the high cost of living of California.
Okay. What do you work as here?
I work as a software engineer.
Software engineer. Nice. Did you come with your family here?
Yes.
Like your wife and your children?
My wife is not Mexican, so that's another different thing. My wife is American. Mm-hmm. She was born in Washington, D.C.
In D.C. So my children is half.
No, we met in Washington. No, we met in Mexico. Then we moved to Washington, D.C. Then we moved to California. And then we moved to Oregon.
Very nice. All over the place here. All right.
So we met in Mexico, and we started dating in Mexico.
So why did you come to Oregon instead of staying in California?
Cost of living.
Cost of living. All right. Nice expense there. What were the biggest challenges that you faced coming here?
Here,
mm-hmm. Here as in
Oregon. Okay, the weather.
Okay.
My experience as moving to the U.S., that was where the cultural shock was. Because mm-hmm. to me, it doesn't make a difference. U.S., Washington, D.C., or Oregon mm-hmm. is pretty much the same to me. There's differences, and I know that people from here think that the East Coast is so different. But to me, it's very, very similar.
What were your feelings when you came to Washington, D.C.? What were the differences that were noticeable?
Well, that is very different. for once, like, I really missed the food.
Okay.
That was the thing that I missed the most.
What were your favorite foods that you missed?
My mom's cooking. Well, like, home cooking, you know, because mm-hmm. in Mexico, that's what you do. You don't go to restaurants as much. You pretty much eat at home. Or, even if you go to, like, when I was living in a different place when I was going to grad school, you still have these places where you get home food.
Okay.
It's not very sophisticated, and it's very different what you think of Mexican food, but it's just something that I really miss.
What would be the main Mexican dish that you would normally make?
Me, I don't cook.
Or your mother would make?
I don't cook.
I know, yeah. What would your mother make?
I don't know. So what I really miss is things that I don't eat very often in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But, for example, in Christmas we eat certain things in special occasions. Mm-hmm. Those are the ones that are really elaborate and really, to me, delicious. But also, like, the little things, like the cheeses, they're very different. The beans, they're never, like, made the same. They put sugar in beans. That, to me, is almost blasphemy.
Okay.
You guys put sugar in beans, you know what I mean? Like, the Yeah, it's sweet. So I'm used to more like spicy food. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's basically one of the first things that shocked me. Also, you have to follow rules all the time.
Okay.
So
what like, are the main rules that you
everything,
have to follow?
Like traffic rules.
Okay.
Like the thing is, in Mexico, you don't follow rules.
Okay.
You go by instinct and non-written rules. Like you can. For example, you can always pass like a red light if there is not a cop around. That's a rule.
Okay.
Don't get caught. but it's okay. You know what I mean? You grew up with that, and you like you don't think that there is a place where actually people follow rules and they respect the rules. So it wasn't like shocking, but it was just to me it was a very different experience.
What year did you move to Washington, D.C.?
To 1998.
What were the main events going on?
So we moved because my wife was going back to grad school.
Okay.
Well, she wasn't my wife. Mm-hmm. And she told me that I was going to be able to go to grad school in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the U.S. everything is fine and peachy. But it is not if you're an immigrant. Like, I didn't have a visa to go to school. Mm-hmm. So we found out the hard way that is not so hard for somebody from here to get some kind of stipend and help to go to grad school, especially in science. But for somebody who has no, you know, no means, no money, nor already applied for a school and get through the whole process of trying to get financial help, it was very difficult. So though I basically, you know, gave up on the idea of going back to grad school and start working.
Where did you start working?
So first, I couldn't work legally because mm-hmm. I was here with a tourist visa.
Okay.
So I have to work just helping people out and stuff. Her brother has a business, so I helped him out a little bit. So that was until I was able to get a work permit. Mm-hmm. And then I started working in another company. What I was doing, like lab tech,
Okay. They
call it scientist, but it was really lab tech because what you do is basically help people, like the senior researchers and stuff, on their experiments and do data analysis and things. So that was what I started working on. I was really, really underpaid, and I realized that after. I realized that everybody else was making more money than me.
Okay.
That's another different thing. In the U.S., nobody talks about how much you make. Mm-hmm. Nobody says that, ever.
Sort of.
In Mexico, it's kind of like, okay, you say, hey, how much you make? So.
Did you go back to school after you got your work permit?
No. After, in the U.S., I have not been back to school. I took some classes on programming stuff.
Nice. So you've made it all the way up just by no school. Very nice.
But the thing is, I gave up on working on science, which is what I really like. But so programming is easy, and it pays really well, way better than when I was working in science. I mean, you have to have a PhD to get somewhere. Everybody, when I was working in that field, everybody was making everybody without PhD was making peanuts. And Okay. Not even like PhDs were making that much money. So the first software job that I got, I thought I asked for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And they were like, not sure. They didn't want to hire me because I was asking for too little.
Oh.
So that's how, like, I didn't even know. You know, I thought I was asking for too much. Or I was like, I want to take my chance. But they were like, we were wondering why you're asking so little. You know, I was like, whoops, I would have asked for more if I knew.
Do you remember what that wage was that you asked for?
Yeah, so I was making 50 grand a year, mm-hmm. and I asked for 65. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm asking. They're not going to, no way they're going to give me the job. I was too, you know, I tried, you know, I went too far for, and they gave me the job, but everybody was making 70 or mm-hmm. 75. Or during that period, I went to like four or five companies in 3 or 4 years. Because every time I got a new job, I got a good raise, like 10, 15 grand. Because, you know, it's easy to get a raise mm-hmm. from the get-go than staying in the place. Then you get like 2% or something.
When you first moved to the United States, how was your English?
I was able to read, but not write.
Not right. How about speaking?
And speaking, I thought I was able to, but nobody understood me.
Okay.
So still, some people have trouble, right? I have to kind of slow down, and sometimes people don't understand my pronunciation, but I think it's better now than before, just out of practice.
How was that a challenge when you got here and trying to be employed or getting your visa or work permit?
Well, to get a work permit, there's no problem. You don't need to speak English.
Okay, bonus.
They never ask you for that. Even for citizenship, they don't ask you really. They ask you, I mean, the question they ask me was so simple that I was like, whoa, I could have done this when I was in high school, this English test that I did for Okay. Citizenship. So it's very, very easy.
When did you become a citizen?
And right before the Kerry election, 2004.
Okay.
Yes, 2004.
Yeah. And did you get that through your wife? Or did
yes.
You apply? So was it the K something?
It's easy, you know, because when you marry a U.S. a citizen, and we went through the interview, and they asked us, hey, you guys married for the papers? And I was like, dude, we have two kids. You know, it's like,
Yeah.
But here they are, our proofs. And we have photos of Mexico. And, like, you know, it was... Like, the guy saw through that there he was, yeah, obviously, we didn't marry for...
For real purposes.
You know, for the papers, you know. It was like, we've been together for 5 years at that point or something, and we had to... No, anyway, so that's how I got the... So it wasn't a real problem. I know that it's difficult for people who go through different avenues, but going through that one in particular for me was easy. The work permit was also easy.
Did you face any racial discrimination when you first moved to Washington, D.C.?
I have to confront my own idea of what is discrimination, but I have, not as much in D.C. as in... So the time that I felt it the most, it wasn't even, no word was spoken, but I just felt so uncomfortable. I was driving through Pennsylvania, the rural area. We were going from D.C. to Niagara Falls. So this is a very... diverse area. Mm-hmm. So where my wife grew up, she was in the minority. I mean, it's mostly black. And I start interact a lot with black people in the basketball court. Okay. So I always love playing basketball. So in D.C. I start playing, and I feel a little bit discriminated, but because they assume that I didn't know how to play because I wasn't black.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like bad. You know, it was like, oh, this guy probably sucks. And then I start playing with them, and then I wasn't the best, but I wasn't the worst. You know, I was able to keep up with them. It's funny that at one point somebody told me, so they weren't sure if I, because I didn't talk a lot, because I don't know if you ever play basketball. You've seen black people playing basketball, like in when they're like mostly blacks, because I think they act different when they're in a non-black environment, you know what I mean? But when they're in the hood, they act different, and they talk a lot, and they look like they're going to fight a lot. They talk trash a lot, and they're really, like, physical, but never, you know, but never get to the point where they fight. Well, never that I saw. I guess I have. But it just feels that way. It kind of feels intimidating at first, so I didn't talk a lot. I just played, right?
Mm-hmm.
But some of them didn't know if I really spoke English or not. So they talked to me, but they were like, I don't know if this guy understands. And then like one guy told me, you can probably not even tell us apart. We all look alike. But I didn't know that that's kind of a racial connotation. And I say, yeah, you guys all look alike. So he was like shocked.
Okay.
Because I was being racist, right? Because mm-hmm. that sounds racist. But to me, coming from a place where you've never seen black people, mm-hmm. it's like the first time you see Chinese people, they pretty much look alike because we are not conditioned to see differences. And I know that for people who never seen Mexicans, they probably all look alike, you know, they probably think the same. Which is, that's not the same as being racist, it's just a fact. Like, just because you're not used to them. So after a while, then you start like, you know, you start seeing them and how they're really different, but they just different in different ways, you know what I mean? But when I felt discriminated was in a place where it's not diverse at all. The first time I saw somebody working, white people working at McDonald's, that was like when I knew that it was in white country. Because if you go to McDonald's, it's always black or Hispanic, at least in D.C.
Okay.
This is D.C., right? But I went to Pennsylvania, and I went to McDonald's, and the guy in the working in the counter was white. But when I walk in that place, I felt so bad because everybody looked at me like, what are you doing here? You know what I mean? I don't know. Nobody say a word, but I felt so uncomfortable.
What?
To the point that I felt almost threatened that I just walked out.
Oh, you walked straight back out.
I didn't get my burger. I was like, okay.
Were they all white inside?
Everybody. Everybody in the town.
Everybody was all white? Wow.
So if people who work in McDonald's is white, that town is white. That's how you can say it. I don't know. Kind of, that's what I've seen, right? Like, mm-hmm. usually minorities work in McDonald's, you know, Asian, whatever. But that's the time I felt, it wasn't that, like, a discrimination per se, but I don't know. I just felt really out of place, and I wanted to be out of there as soon as possible. You know, you feel the tension and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the car and told my wife, you go get the burger. She's white, so I was like, okay, you go get the burger.
What differences were the most obvious to you when you came here?
Differences as in. The sun doesn't work.
Okay.
Like, I never saw a sunny day that is cold in Mexico.
Okay.
You don't have that. If it's sunny, it's not cold.
Okay.
I guarantee. And in Mexico City, it can get cold mm-hmm. because it's really high.
Mm-hmm.
So you get, like, even frost. And you get, like, ice on top of the, you know, if you can leave water, like, in a bucket of water outside, you get ice.
How so about snow?
There's no enough humidity because it's kind of dry. So it will probably snow if it was raining. But it's kind of dry. The winter especially is dry. So there is no, like, in the... So it's surrounded by volcanoes, Mexico City.
Okay.
So there's snow always in the volcanoes, but that's even in summer. There, but well, as soon as the sun comes out, boom, it's warm. And in D.C. it was sunny, and it was so cold. I was like, what's wrong with this sun? That's surprising. So, I don't know, it's just weird, but that's one of the things that struck me. Like, what? The sun doesn't work here. I don't know. Like I said, the food, the fact that people don't talk as much to strangers and stuff. So in Mexico, everybody uses public transportation pretty much because it's so crowded that you cannot really. I mean, if you want to drive downtown, good luck. You can never find a parking spot ever, and you have to pay parking and anyway. So it's just easier to take the metro or something too. And people talk, you know, to strangers and stuff, and you make, you know. Small talk, whatever. But here, like, you don't look at people in the eye. Mm-hmm. People think you're... And I even learned the word for that. You have a word for that. It's called staring, right?
Okay.
That word doesn't exist in Spanish. Yeah. That word doesn't exist. That concept doesn't exist.
Okay.
You're looking at somebody, you know. In D.C. it happened to me that I was looking at a black guy and he felt like I was trying to fight him or something. He said, "You, what are you looking at?" He was with another guy. He was like three young kids, right? But I was looking at them because I was really like looking at different people. You know, I was like in a different place in the world. So like if you go to Japan, you probably look, oh man, people here are different. So you look at them.
Yeah.
But so I learned that you cannot look at them.
Okay.
He felt like I was threatening and kind of like... In a threatening way, right? Because, but I wasn't. I was just looking at him. And he was really aggressive towards me. Like, what are you looking at? Like, really coming at me. And I was like, nothing.
Okay. How long did you stay in Washington, D.C.?
3.5 years.
So you got some snow while you were there?
Yeah.
Is that when the sun came out and you were really cold?
Yeah. No, see, on winter, even there doesn't even need to be snow. It's colder than Oregon.
Yeah. Much
well, not Oregon, the Portland. I guess it's not as cold as Bend or not like Grand or something. But yeah, it is cold in winter.
Mm-hmm. So was that a lot different from Mexico?
Yeah, it's not cold in Mexico. Okay. Well, like I guess in the nights it gets cold.
Okay.
But as soon as the sun comes out,
it's
not warm, but it gets to the 50s, 60s, you know.
Okay. Were you
in a bad day?
Okay. So you were like almost like regionalized, shocked of the different
temperatures? Yeah, yes. And the seasons, right? In Mexico, the season, like the summer is a little bit warmer. But here, like in D.C. especially, it's so extreme. Like summers are so hot, way hotter than Mexico City. It's very hot. It's like on the hundreds and very humid. And winter is cold, so you get that, and you also see the season. You know, you don't have that as marked in Mexico, so that was another part. But I think it mostly was people, like how different it is to be in a place, like a different country. I really like the fact that I was able to meet people from Africa, from Russia. So where I was working, there were people. I get along with the Russians really well because. Well, the two of them. I guess I got along better with the foreigners than because
you share
we
the
were
same story.
Yeah because we share the same as you know and Americans like born and raised here they were nice to us. Everybody was you know they were it was not a discrimination thing. It was just like they had more in common with the other guys from the same town. They talk about this show in the 70s and I was like. I wasn't here, or this show. You know, they talk about shows and TV or movies, and I was like, people assume in the U.S. that everybody watches American movies.
The same, yeah, definitely.
But I mean, sometimes it's the case, but not always, you know. Like somebody was shocked that I didn't know about O.J. Simpson's trial. And they were like, how come you don't know about that? It's so important. And I was like, probably was important here, but yeah. In the big scheme of things, mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah. What was pop culture like in Mexico City?
Oh, Mexico City has its own thing.
Okay.
So we do have a lot of American influence, mm-hmm. right? And not as much as in border. Like in the border towns in Mexico, that's like, they even speak Spanglish, right? They call park, like, we have a word for parking, but they call parquear, which is kind of sounds like parking. Mm-hmm. So they use, yeah, like, Spanglish.
It's funny. There.
What?
I do better there.
Yeah. Well, no, because you will not understand. They pronounce it differently, though. So it's kind of in between.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So it was a mixture. But definitely, there is a lot of American influence, especially American music. Not American as much as British, I guess, because well, the better groups are British, right? Like especially, no, I mean maybe not now, but you talk about like the 70s, mm-hmm. 60s, 80s, U2, Led Zeppelin, Rolling Stones, like all the bands that actually are like. Mm-hmm. Survive.
Classics.
Yeah. The classics are actually, most of them are British.
Yes.
So, and in Mexico, you don't even know they're British. They're English, they're probably from the U.S. The Beatles are Americans, right? Yeah. Even though they're not, but you don't really know that. So, mm-hmm. I used to sing the Beatles when I was a baby.
Okay.
They tell me. I don't know.
In terms of news and media, how did you receive it in Mexico City?
So, it's so local. TV, there is like two big TV, they're almost like a monopoly. There used to be only one, and then another one popped. But they are very, so if you want to know about Mexico, you don't watch TV news, because they really are only reading whatever the government position is on certain issues. And they actually are more critical of the U.S. and other countries than they take, a better role of criticizing and analyzing, but not in Mexico. So for me, when I start going to college, then I start reading newspapers, because newspapers are more critical of the government, at least more objective from my point of view. Like they do say praise the government when they do some good things, and they also criticize. And then TV, you never get any criticizing to the government, never. So, but that's what most people consume. Mm-hmm. So the government figured out, well, we control the TV. Who cares about the newspaper? That's only like 5% of the population read newspaper.
All right. What did you like most about? What do you like most about Oregon, living here now?
So I think it's a nice place to raise a family. It's mm-hmm. kind of, I might be under an illusion. That might not be true. But so I'm making good money. I mean, you make just as much money as in California, and the cost of living is way less. We were able to. So I was in San Diego. I was living in the hood, really. Like, you couldn't afford to live in a nice area. Here we live in a nice area where, you know, it's not. So when I was living in San Diego, my neighbors, I saw the SWAT teams coming a couple times, and you hear, oh, this guy got shot. The neighbor, oh, he's dead. He got shot. You're like, whoa. You don't want your kids to grow up in that environment. So we really like that about Oregon. We live here in Bethany, not mm-hmm. so far from here. So our kids are going to go to good schools. You know, it's just, that's I think the biggest thing. We don't like that it rains a lot and it's not as nice. I mean, San Diego, we used to go to the beach, right? Like mm-hmm. we just like 10 minutes from the beach, we just pack our stuff and you know, The problem was getting parking, you know, but that's like the minor thing. It was nice and convenient, but it was a high price to pay, I think. I also really like the fact that the best part for me in San Diego was Tijuana. It's like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You just have to cross the border. And the problem is more crossing back because it's a long line. But it was nice because you could get a healthcare in Tijuana free, me as a Mexican. Mm-hmm. You can get medicines, antibiotics, and things. It's way cheaper. Like, you know, here in you can order meds from Canada, right? Mm-hmm. And it's cheaper. So there in Tijuana, you just. But in Tijuana, it's way cheaper.
Okay.
Even though it's more expensive than anybody anywhere else in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know it's next to the border and Americans go buy medicines.
Okay.
But they still is more expensive in Mexico, but it's way cheaper. But like a third. Sometimes it was cheaper than just the copay that we pay for the medicine.
Wow, all right.
Yeah. So I don't know why they charge so much for medicine.
Did you notice anything different between the curriculum that you grew up with compared
yes.
to theirs?
Yes, it's very different.
Very different. What types of differences?
It's kind of like two different, like completely different. Like it would be hard for me to find similarities.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't dislike it. I hate the fact that they have social promotion. You know what is that? Like in Mexico, let's say you're in fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't pass, you don't have passing grades and everything, you don't go to fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you go to fifth grade okay. just because you didn't die. I mean, that's the only thing, right? If you're alive, you go to fifth. I don't like that. I think that didn't encourage kids to not care. Like,
sure.
to if, you know.
Because they'll get there anyways.
They get anyway, so who cares if they mm-hmm. pass or not?
What were some of the cultural morals in Mexico that you would like Americans to take on that would be better for our culture?
Pacifism.
Okay.
Peace is better than war. For some people, that's a shocker. But to me, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah.
I think that people here, they try to isolate. The American culture is like a bubble,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they take influence from other countries very well, or I don't know, they don't even care what's going on in the world. It's very American-centric. Like, as soon as I moved to the U.S., I stopped finding books from European authors that I used to read, like Milan Kundera, I don't know. And also, I stopped watching French and British and Italian movies. Because in Mexico City, like, you can't find that, those. Well, that's a good part of being in a big city. Even though only like 10% of the people care about foreign films, that's 2 million people, right? Because it's
mm-hmm.
20 million. So 10% of 20 is still a lot of people. So you have a lot of places to go. And I miss that. So to hear is, I think it's very American-centric. Like the literature and the movies, they tend to think that the American problems, the domestic problems are of the world dimension, like the World Series in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has nothing of world. It's just U.S. teams.
No other teams, no Japanese or.
They have Japanese players, but that doesn't make the World Cup. Like in the Mexican League, there is Brazilian players, not Indian players. But we don't call it. We call it the Mexican Championship,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Like the World Series is not World Series, right? Nobody.
Okay.
It's nobody knows about the World Series outside of the U.S.
Okay.
And it's called the World Series. It should be called the American Series, right?
Yeah.
You know what? That kind of thing. Like if it's good for the U.S., it's good for the world kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I noticed that as a foreigner, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
like I can see now things that are bothering me really a lot about the Mexican culture that I see because I'm outside that I didn't see when I was living there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can see better your culture when you're outside than when you're embedded on it. So it's not surprising that most people don't even think about those things because you live your whole life here, right?
Mm-hmm. So what, on that note, what do you miss most about Mexico?
Miss?
Mm-hmm.
I used to miss the food, but I guess I don't anymore.
Okay.
I don't miss many things anymore other than my family, really. I mean, it's been, from 98 to now? 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Too late for me to miss things.
Right.
And sometimes I don't even know if I'm idealizing the Mexico 15 years ago doesn't even exist anymore. Mexico changed too, you know what I mean? Not because I move out of the country stays the same thing.
How often do you go back to visit?
So, about every 2 years or something.
When you were living in California, did you go back more often?
Oh, yeah. Well, but I didn't go to Mexico City. I
okay.
went to Tijuana,
okay.
which is not the same, but at least something.
Yeah.
At least you can get good tacos,
okay.
fish tacos.
Okay. Okay, what would you say the difference is between what we call Mexican food here and what you know Mexican food to be?
So burritos, for example, don't exist in Mexico City.
Okay.
So I think that most of the food that you guys get here as Mexican is like from North Mexico, okay. Like Sonora and Chihuahua. Like that's where burritos and chimichangas and all of those things mm-hmm. are from. And it's kind of different from the food in Central Mexico, where I'm from.
Okay.
So I think that's the main difference.
The difference there. Okay. What are the most important lessons that you've learned while integrating into this country?
Lessons that I learned is that you have to have an open mind when you are talking to people from other cultures
mm-hmm.
and don't have any assumptions that they understand what you're saying. Because
mm-hmm.
In my culture, we tend to talk less. Like, in your culture, there is always, like, we need to talk about this and kind of vent everything, right? Like, you go to a party in the U.S., it's all about talking. If you go to a party in Mexico, it's all about dancing and drinking. That's what people do, even the grandmas. Like, you don't see that here. Like, the grandma is drinking and is dancing. You know, it's not like... But here, people talk, right? That's... But that's a good thing, too. You know, you need to talk. But in Mexico, it's more like you send signals and you say things kind of like subtle ways.
More socializing rather than...
Yeah. But not straight. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those signals work on your culture. Mm-hmm. That people understand that grew up with you. But you cannot translate that into people in other cultures, other countries. And to me, it has been fascinating to learn the differences and also the similarities between me and somebody from Eritrea. A country in Africa, but that we share things in common, like, you know, and the differences too. So, I don't know. I think that the most valuable lesson is just have an open mind and don't assume that they understand what you're saying when you just try saying something.
What were the biggest challenges you faced?
I think the life here is very safe, but not very fun. So I always tell my wife that living in the U.S. is like living in a hospital.
Okay.
You're safe. You're taken care of. Your future is kind of safe. But but you don't want to live in a hospital, you know.
Yeah.
So, but on the same token, when I go back to Mexico and I feel the chaos and I feel that safety is not anybody's concern, then you feel like, maybe I'm getting soft and I'm getting more Americanized than I was willing to admit. So I don't know if I don't think I could live in Mexico City. Like, I drive like an old lady now.
Okay.
Even though here they call me California driver, in Mexico City that's like an old lady driving.
Okay.
That's one thing. And I just, I don't know, I'm not used to the whole living so nervous about things.
Okay.
It's hard to explain, like, but you, things happen in Mexico that makes you realize that your life is not really on your hands, that you don't have control of your whole life or your whole destiny, that things happen and then you might die next day.
Mm-hmm. So was your wife moving back to Washington, D.C. to finish her degree
mm-hmm.
The only reason you came to the United States, or what else did you
want? Yeah. I wanted to be with her.
Okay.
I was really in love with my then girlfriend. Now,
soon to be wife. There you go. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I would have followed her. She told me what, but she cheated because she told me later she would have stayed if I didn't come. But I didn't think she was going to stay, so that's what I. Because I was in grad school there, so I didn't finish my grad school there because I moved here, hoping that I would be able to enroll in a program in the U.S., but that never happened.
Okay.
It's very expensive. Mexico get paid to go to school, to college.
What's the difference?
Well, not everybody gets paid, but like if you go science and then you get good grades, you can qualify for it, but it's free. So here it's just so expensive. So, I mean, I pay, it's not completely free, but I pay probably $20 a semester, something like that. It's just for paperwork, basically. I don't understand why in the U.S. with so much money, I mean, so rich country, they cannot provide education for these people. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. So if you were going to give advice to some, to an incoming immigrant or somewhere, what would be the one?
People are not used to, especially people coming to work that never made any money. You know, that work day laborers in Mexico where you make $3 a day. So you really don't have money. You pay for the next meal and that's it. You're broke again, right? Like back to normal. I would say, like, you're going to earn some money now. Don't just waste it. Save.
So just save and build up money.
Yeah.
You can.
Because who knows what tomorrow is going to come. You know, you don't know if it's, you know, your situation might change. Nothing lasts forever.
All right. Thank you.